Okay, everybody, thank you for downloading this week's episode of Standing on the Shoulders of Giants from calvaryogmore.co.uk. This week's guest, Dr. Joseph Ton. But a slightly different podcast in the sense that it's only 10 minutes long. But what a 10 minutes. And it's recorded from my car. That's because Joseph said he didn't want to do a podcast with me because he was going to tell all his stories from the pulpit. But we were travelling home from somewhere one afternoon, and we got home and discovered that they had forgotten the key. So we had to go all the way back. So I had an extra 20 minutes in the car with them, and he started just talking about what it was like to preach under revival. So I grabbed my recorder and I said, "Joseph, I know you said no to doing a podcast, but I've got to record it. Do you mind?" And he said, "Go ahead." And so I present to you this week's episode of Standing on the Shoulders of Giants. So we're talking about revival, and you were listening to a man preach, and in 5 minutes you heard like a rushing wind and his voice changed.
And everybody sensed, sort of everybody started to cry, and with that deep, harsh voice, this man would continue. But it wasn't the deep stuff in the sermon. It was just the power, the presence of God felt there. And later on, I got the tapes, and to my surprise, the sermons were very poor. But the power was absolutely overwhelming. And I envied that. I knew it was just, as Maureen said, heaven opened. And there was pouring of the Spirit's power. Anyhow, he left. He left for America. You never heard of him anymore, because in America, nothing more happened through him. The church called me to be their pastor, and they didn't even consider it. But a few months later, the Lord spoke to me, "You have to go there." And it was at a time when I was arrested. I got a beating. I really got scared, because that beating was a very traumatic event. And 3 months later, when a secret police officer told me that he purposed to stop me preaching, and cut a long story short, he threatened that he will kill me if I don't stop, or send me to a labor camp. And because I was so scared and didn't want to get a new beating, I went and told Elizabeth I will accept a secular job and stop preaching. And she was furious. Didn't you believe that you wanted to be a martyr? Now go and do it.
Yep.
And
I go with you.
And I go with you to die with you. So, again, cut through the story. I went back to that officer. I told him, "I'm not preaching preaching, and I know he will kill me for that, but I made all my calculations. I'm prepared to die because I know they will kill me, but I will continue to preach as long as I am alive and free. And that man apparently was so shocked. He just looked at me and said, a very soft voice, "You will not die. Go on and preach." And as I sensed after that, he was my defender at the government. For 4 years, I was a preacher at that revival. And, but tell you what, I always yearned to have power, not to be, to force myself into preaching. And it was the Sunday after I told that man that I'm ready to die, that I sensed the heaven open and everything started to flow. Sunday morning we had a communion, and it was the sweetest communion I ever had. And then in that evening, when I made the invitation, 27 people came forward. And then for 4 years, I preached under open heaven. I'm always yearning to have that experience again. So far, it never came. The revival that I conducted was stopped a few years after I left Romania. And when I went back to Oradea, there was no more revival. As somebody put it, said, "Joseph, even when that building was empty and I went in, I sensed the power of God there. Now, even when people are in it, I go and there is no more that presence." So the point I wanted to make is that I know what is revival, and I know what is to preach under open heaven when you are taken over and you speak. And sometimes I listen to the tape and I said, "Was that me? Those thoughts, I never thought them. How they're so clear, so rich, so that's not me preaching." So when you are in that situation, in the revival, in the pulpit, no more you. The Spirit takes over, and you just flow with the Spirit and preach. And after I went back for a few years, it was when Maureen was there, I did have the same type of experience, preaching under the open heaven, preaching with no need to force myself to. No, it was everything flowing freely. And my hope, it didn't die yet, is that I'll see again a revival.
Well, you said yesterday that you're a man impassioned and on fire for God, and how can you be any other way with a God like yours?
I know. But I want him to come back for the other people, for the church, for the world. So we want to see him glorified on the entire planet. I I think that's why we had to go for the key.
Yeah.